This is a production of Cornell University.
We're going to get started. Can people on Zoom hear me back here? Maybe? No? Yes, okay, cool. All right. So today is March 7th, and we're going to have Carell start us with a roll call.
Abir Al-Samari. Chris Aiklin. Samuel Brightoni. Kate Carter-Cram.
Here.
Charles Day. Jordan Dossel. Cody Yule.
Here.
Ruth Epstein?
Here.
Natalie Gonzalez? Sabrina Graham? Bridget Hayes? Amara Nayapali? Kyle Carnuda?
Yes.
David Kent? Alexandra Piusova?
Here.
Genesis Lee?
Here.
Stephanie Lopez? Amelia Matthews?
Here.
Arshad Mehta?
Here.
Miranda Minnelli?
Here.
Neve Moore?
Here.
Andrew Murtha? Chris O'Connor?
Here.
Christine Oedewa? Akash Patel?
Here.
Noriellis Perez. Damian Sharp.
Here.
Georgia Smith.
Here.
Jack Simmons.
Jack's here online.
William Wang. Josh Washington.
Here.
Anna Wunsch and Simon Yang.
Simon's here online.
And we have 18 out of 33 seated voting members.
All right, awesome. So we'll move on to late additions to the agenda.
I have one I'd like to bring everyone's attention that we need to elect a new chair of the advocacy committee. We had a resignation. So that position is now open to anyone who either wants to fill it, or I guess it's maybe worth reappointing if need be from someone on the committee.
I also have a question. I'd like to discuss resolution 10, not vote on it, just a general discussion.
Anything else anybody wants to add? Anything online? So here we'll move on to the approval of the meeting. Do we have the meeting minutes for today? We do? Okay. So anybody have any changes or amendments to those meetings? Or minutes, sorry. Nobody has any issues with those. We can pass that. Sorry, we have a presentation today. So we have Ian Akchalu, who is the chairperson of the University Assembly Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and the Environment. So everybody, welcome Ian. He's going to give us a nice presentation.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me today. Because I'm kind of sitting at the end here, I think I'm just going to walk around the center and talk, and hopefully that improves the acoustics a little bit and makes it easier for people who are on the Zoom call to hear as well. So I'm here today to talk about University Assembly Resolution Number 3, which has to do with upgrades to Cornell's waste management infrastructure. Specifically, what I and the co-sponsors of this resolution purport to do is replace Cornell's current system of trash receptacle with smart waste receptacles. For those of you who might not be familiar with what exactly that is, I'll give you a brief rundown. So about 8 years ago, Cornell implemented what they call the mini bin system. So those of you who ride the TCATs might notice that near most of the TCAT stops, you'll have a little duplex of trash and recycling, a little brown bin, open air with like a little top roof on it. Those are the mini bins. There have been some issues with those. Biggest among them is a lot of them aren't where they originally were placed. One of the things that's kind of become apparent as I've talked with the grounds office is that there's not actually an accurate map depicting where the locations of all the outdoor waste receptacles are on Cornell's campus right now. Additionally, because they're open to the environment, animals get in them and rummage through the trash. And as a result, even if they're not filled, full grounds have to come and collect trash from them, or at least remove the bags, within a certain periodicity. So what this does is it burns both fuel and labor. So what we want to do is upgrade the outdoor waste receptacle infrastructure and move from mini bins to smart waste receptacles. Now, some of you guys might have seen these around other college campuses. Right now, they're pretty prominent in the Ivy Leagues because Brown, Yale, Dartmouth, Harvard, and Vanderbilt all have them now. What they are essentially is outdoor waste receptacles. They are self-compacting. So as you put trash in them, they compact it down to reduce the amount of space the trash takes up and how often you need to change the bins. They have a smart sensor. They actually operate on a network. So what they do is grounds or whoever the operators at facilities are will see a kind of like a Google Maps overlay of the locations of all these smart waste receptacles on campus and how full they are. And when they are full enough that they need to be picked up, they'll send a ping. And only then will someone from grounds need to actually drive out to empty that bin. So as you can imagine, this eliminates the need to make periodic trash rounds and instead allows you to do targeted trash pickups, significantly saving fuel costs and also saving labor costs because all those people who would drive around collecting trash can now be redeployed, repurposed to other activities. One of the challenges for the past 2 years is that Cornell has had a bit of a labor shortage in a lot of the employee jobs and dining and grounds. Hopefully that ends soon. But this would help alleviate that. Because these containers are heavy and they're actually sealed, meaning that in order to open them for trash or recycling in, you have to either press a foot pedal or there's a door you open. They're also very heavy. But what this mainly means is animals won't get into them and they also can't be picked up and moved around campus by people who aren't affiliated with the grounds department. Additionally, they're solar power. There's a panel on top that collects energy from the sun. And, you know, one of the concerns that's been expressed to me as I've kind of discussed this with people at grounds is, well, Cornell gets a lot of snow in the winter. What about that? Well, the battery from solar charging can last about 6 weeks. So I think that's enough time to either brush the snow off or allow the snow to melt due to environmental factors. Lastly, a really cool ancillary feature about these receptacles is the model that's offered by the Bin Jolly company offers an in-unit Wi-Fi extending base station. This will allow Cornell to significantly expand the coverage of its Wi-Fi network outdoors on campus in areas where it's spotty. So that's what smart waste receptacles essentially are. The main reason I'm here to talk about them and tell you why I think that this is a good proposal and why Cornell should adopt it comes down to three prongs. The first prong I've already discussed a little bit. They'll reduce Cornell's carbon footprint, reduce fuel costs from picking up empty bins, and fewer animal concerns. They'll also reduce the non-salvageable recycling that's lost in the stream. Lots of times with outdoor recycling bins and trash bins, as your people are walking by, they're not even really thinking about it. They're just throwing an item away. These bins are a little bit more deliberate. You actually have to physically open the door of the receptacle you want to use with your foot or your hand and put the trash in or the recycling in, as the case may be. Secondly, increased convenience for students, staff, faculty, and employees. Back in the fall, what initially got me on this project was frustration a lot of visitors who accompanied me to campus had trying to find places to throw away trash outside, because as you're walking around, it becomes a bit apparent that there aren't that many waste receptacles. The idea would be to use the technology, the ability to measure how full these waste receptacles actually are, to redesign Cornell's waste management infrastructure and target bin locations based on high traffic areas. This would mean you probably wouldn't have that trash can out in the middle of nowhere that maybe two people a month throw something in. Instead, it would mean that you would have waste receptacles in high traffic common areas where people actually do typically need to throw trash in. And lastly, this plan would reduce Cornell's fuel and labor costs in the long run. We're going to talk about the initial capital costs in a second, because as you can expect, you know, it is a bit more expensive to employ technology than it is to just buy a bucket or a trash can and put it out. But based on metrics from other schools that have implemented this system, they do save labor and fuel costs. So what I'll talk about now is the reactions of different stakeholders in the Cornell community that have voiced their opinions as this proposal has been discussed. So as Preston mentioned in the introduction, I'm the chair of the University Campus of the University Assembly Infrastructure, Technology, and the Environment Committee. And a couple of weeks ago, we had an open meeting with the Campus Sustainability Office, R5 Operations, as well as a representative from Big Belly to discuss what a proposal like this would look like at Cornell. I will be blunt and say that right now, the Campus Sustainability Office is opposed to this proposal. The reason that they are opposed to the proposal is it goes in a slightly different direction on what their master plan for campus sustainability is. Their overall goal is to reduce the convenience factor for people to throw away trash on campus in the hopes that people will throw away less trash on campus. Now, we have the same goal, which is to reduce Cornell's carbon footprint and contribute to Cornell becoming a more sustainable campus, but where we differ is how we go about approaching it. I happen to believe that in order to best address climate change, it is more productive to allow people to contribute to reducing an institution's carbon footprint by making it as convenient as possible for them and not requiring them to significantly change their behavior in order to do so. If you go the other way and try to make it less convenient for them, I believe you will alienate people in the fight against climate change who would otherwise be willing to go along and be contributing members. So the Campus Sustainability Office and I disagree in this area. But interestingly, in my discussions with Cornell Brown, although they have kind of remained neutral and not taken a direct position on it, a lot of the challenges that they voiced, a lot of their concerns, are actually covered by this proposal. For instance, in our February 1st meeting, they mentioned that some of their biggest issues were fuel costs expended picking up empty bags. They mentioned that the current outdoor trash cans emit odors, and it's a challenge to get to keep animals out of them. And they mentioned that the current bins have been moved by people over the past 8 years since they've been installed, resulting in now there not being an accurate map of where all the bins are located, essentially relying on tribal knowledge of the workers to go and empty them. So I mentioned I talked about capital costs. I'll go over those briefly. The representative from the Big Belly company, who I've been primarily working with on this proposal, gave me a couple different options that they typically go with in a university price structure. The first one is the capital purchase. Those range from $3,000 to $6,000 per station, depending on whether you do a single trash receptacle or a double trash and recycling receptacle. After that, though, they last a long time. It's kind of a one-time upfront purchase, and then there is a small service fee each month for maintenance. The other option is the leasing option, which is a bit more reasonable. You can lease them for $138 a month for a single unit, or $300 per double unit under the leasing option. The company also takes care of all ongoing maintenance and infrastructure costs and concerns, and it'll provide support for those based on their own stats. So this is a resolution currently proposed in the University Assembly, which I haven't seen the agenda for tomorrow, but is hopefully coming up for a vote soon. I was assuming it passes. I hope it passes. I'd like to encourage other assemblies to consider adopting it as well. And with that, I'm happy to take questions if there's anybody who has any.
So I'm a little bit foggy on the reason why they don't want trash cans on campus. Is it because like they don't want students to throw trash away even in bins, and so they're just hoping that they can keep the trash in their pockets or something like that?
Well, I think the idea is that if you make it less convenient to do an action, the action will not occur as much. And the example that was cited to me in conversations with the campus sustainability office is frustrations about the number of Amazon packages that the undergraduate students order and the number of cardboard that, you know, stacks up in the dorms. I don't believe that there is anything Cornell can do that will stop the students from ordering Amazon packages. At this point, I think that is the reality of the world. However, I do believe that if you make it more convenient for people to recycle, so that rather than having to dedicate, you know, specific period of their day when they're already got a million other things going on to go do that, they can just easily drop their cardboard in a bin outside their dorm or something like that, will actually encourage recycling. The other point I'll make is that just because you make it harder to throw away trash in one location, sure, you reduce Cornell's carbon footprint, but the trash is still being thrown away somewhere. So in the macro picture, you're really not doing much to help the environment.
So you mentioned that there's some environmental cost savings, let's say, when it comes to fuel efficiency and just the actual pickup of trash.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other plans to use the bins as like an opportunity to educate or engage students? Because right now, I'm sure, even if you had, you know, pictures of what's recyclable on one and what's trash on the other, you're still going to get a ton of recycling or trash that ends up in the recycling bin, and then that bin is completely junked anyway. So, like, it seems like it might be a part of a larger communication strategy opportunity.
That's a great question. That is also a great idea. From the conversations I've had with the Big Belly representative, typically lots of schools will use the real estate on the sides of the bins to put up either posters or other types of visual aids to encourage people and educate people on how to recycle more effectively. I also know that Cornell is beginning an initiative called Beyond Waste here shortly, which aims to actually do those same things and increase the level of knowledge over how to be a good steward of the environment on campus.
Does Big Belly have any data to suggest that recycling actually happens more appropriately using their tools, or is it just a hope that because someone's opening up the door, they'll be more choiceful about where they put their trash recycling?
I'm sure there probably is data. I don't have access to it right now, but I would be happy to follow up if that's something you're interested in.
I'm just thinking, based on some of the concerns that I'm hearing, it might be worth maybe doing a pilot program just using trash bins, cutting the cost in half instead of doing trash and recycling.
To that end, there is a big belly, at least one, maybe a couple, on the ag quad. And so we placed them there a few years ago. So it might be worthwhile to ask Grounds to report on their experiences with those. And that might be a selling point. And to your point, in fact, actually, we moved a lot of the recycled, the compost bins out of the dining halls because of this contamination problem. Mm-hmm. But the composting happened beyond the... Yes, in fact, if you haven't seen Cornell's composting operation, you should see it. It's awesome.
I would love to.
But the point is that you have to make it easy for people. And so to start with the garbage, the trash is a really good idea. And to start with a testimonial from the ground folks and their experiences with the ag quad operation might be a good place to start.
Yeah, no, thank you.
A question I have was like on the like maintenance thing about how like there's like a chance of fee with that.
Mm-hmm.
Who exactly like does the maintenance in that, like if it's like this company that doesn't have any branches nearby, isn't that just like offsetting the fuel that we'd be saving making small trips if they're sending people out long distance frequently to do things?
So Big Belly will do the maintenance. The monthly fee is $14 a month. They don't require a lot of maintenance. It's essentially, I think, best thought of as an insurance policy on the bins. Typically, I think I remember the representative telling me there was a 5-year service check that's typically performed. But other than that, that's about it. There's not a whole lot that you typically need to do. And Cornell has two Big Bellies on campus right now. The oldest one has been here for almost a decade, I think. I don't think a representative has ever come out, because I talked to my contact at Big Belly, and he actually mentioned that, unfortunately, there hasn't been that much communication with Cornell and the company over the past decade. The contacts he actually had no longer work here. So right now, we're not getting the benefit of the metrics that would be derived from a larger network.
About how long would it take for the initial cost to be offset by whatever saving costs or environmental, benefit? How long would it take for something to be seen by Cornell?
So I can't give you a specific answer for Cornell because I don't have access to the figure that's called the labor burn rate at Cornell. However, the presentation I saw from the University of Florida, they reduced their fuel costs by about 80% in the first year. If that can give you a ballpark.
About how many trash and recycle do we think we need?
I prefer not to speculate without more data. But as I envision this, it would probably be best to do a pilot program in high traffic areas such as Hope Plaza, other areas near the Statler, near Beanie Way, and see how those do. And then once we get a good idea of how those are going, maybe look at expanding to the broader campus. This would actually, if it worked effectively, probably result in an overall reduction of the number of waste receptacles on campus. But I think because they're put in more targeted locations, you would actually see a greater ease of use for the campus residents and staff.
Did you say every 5 years in maintenance, or is it just 5 years and that's it?
There's a 5-year sort of, like a 100,000-mile service check you do on your car. There could be conceivably other maintenance issues, but in experience in other schools, there typically hasn't been, and that 5-year check is just sort of the one service check the company does.
Okay.
absent any other issues.
Any questions online? All right, well, thank you so much, and we really appreciate it.
I have a question for you, related. When you say adopt the resolution, what does that mean for us?
So, I mean, you know, historically, a lot of times, the different assemblies are kind of like show solidarity on different issues, and, you know, I'm trying to think of an example.
Is it just writing a resolution, saying we support the resolution?
You can do that, or you, we could just make, you know, like a similar resolution. Right, Gina? Is that typically how it works?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So if anybody is interested in that, I'm sure we could have the resolution sent that we could get something started.
And I actually sit on that committee, so.
Sure, yeah. That would be great. All right. So with that, we will move on to our breakout sessions.
Probably went to check our computer last time.
Yeah. We have the room over there. We have the room out here. Like, if you guys want to, we'll probably be talking a lot about the Damien's resolution. Not sure. Do you think you could send that out really quick?
I sure could.
Just so we can get some discussion going on that, and any other issues that people want to bring up later during open forum would be great. But we can, once we get everybody in a breakout room online, if you're in person and you have your laptop, if you guys want to huddle up over a laptop somewhere among your groups, I think that's kind of what we've been doing the last couple of weeks. Seems to work well.
And there's salad dressing now, too.
We'll reconvene. We'll wait until we get moved into the breakout rooms. But we'll do the regular 15 minutes. We'll reconvene around 6:15. And Damien is now sending out resolution 10. All right, everybody, settle back in here. With the business item proposed by Kate, we need to elect a new student advocacy committee chair. So like all the elections, when a position like that is vacated, it opens up to any current GPSA members before it opens up to the campus community. So if there's any voting members or field representatives that are interested in this position, nominate someone, nominate yourself. Is anybody interested in that position? Who wants to chair a committee? Anybody have any questions about the committee?
What are some of the general missions of the committee?
Well, that's for you to decide. I think that there are a lot of, broad student advocacy issues on campus, and to be able to kind of spearhead that and, work up resolutions that we can talk about here, I think, is probably the biggest responsibility.
I agree. I feel like there are a lot of advocacy issues that could be addressed. So
yeah. Okay. So if nobody's interested, we will move on. And I will give the floor to Damien.
Do you want to start with Kate? Because we might be a little long-winded. That was the only thing that she had?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I thought she had something else. My fault. Resolution 10. Here we go. All right, folks. So last semester I introduced Resolution 10, which did a couple of things, but where we hesitated, where we stopped, it's because what I was seeking to do in this resolution was rename the Appropriations Committee the Finance Committee, and rename the Finance Committee the Appropriations Committee, because their duties better corresponded with those names. There was some hesitation from the general body to do that at the time, but it seems like less hesitation to create a vice president of finance as a whole. So this resolution hasn't changed from what you saw in the fall, but what I'd like to discuss today to kind of get your input before I go back and amend this resolution is instead of switching the names, I would simply like to create a vice president of finance to sit on the executive committee, to sit with this group, who is also the chair of the Appropriations Committee. So last semester that would have been Ben when this was introduced. Now it is Neve. So Neve is the chair of the Appropriations Committee, and she would also serve as the vice president of finance to oversee the GPSA kind of account and funds. This is the same structure that the student assembly has. So this is not abnormal. So we just kind of want to get some general feedback, some thoughts that you all may have tonight before I go back and amend this resolution, and then hopefully that our next meeting, you know, bring it up to vote. Can I? Kyle, what do you have?
Oh, I'm giving a
Very good.
Last time, in case anyone else also had this issue, I didn't understand the function that distinguished the appropriations chair and the current finance commission chair. And it was explained to me today that the appropriations chair manages essentially the budget that is given to GPSA for GPSA and its committees to operate, and the current finance commission chair, chair is responsible for any other funds that go to the club and other organizations that are affiliated with GPSA. So to me, this new structure seems to make sense.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions, comments, or concerns? How about online? Nothing?
I have a popcorn. The appropriations chair, I seem to have insights as to what's happening at the executive level to ensure that the budget is being considered at that level, and just to ensure that that opinion on how money should be spent and kept in line with the budget is happening at that level. So from an oversight perspective, I think that's really important.
Gina, did you have any points of clarification that you perhaps wanted to discuss? Are you okay?
No, I think that this makes sense, and as you said, it's a model that's currently in place. The student assembly has worked for a long time.
It hasn't been amended.
Okay.
I'm going to write it out. Okay, well, with no more discussion, are there any last comments before we close? All right, I will bring it forward at the next meeting. Thank you all so much for your commentary and your indulgence. You have the floor.
Okay, so we will move on to our reports from officers and committees, and we'll hand it over again to Damien for the executive committee update.
Oh, okay. I guess I just want to know from some folks on Zoom if they can hear us okay. That was the only kind of point that we had at our last meeting. How's the sound, Zoom folks? Good to go. All right, nice job. So Gina's already, we were supposed to have some handheld mics in here, and Gina's already followed up on that. So hopefully at our next meeting, at which President Pollack will be at, so if you have any questions for her, please come ready to ask those. We'll have some handheld mics as well to kind of improve the sound quality for the folks on Zoom. But otherwise, that's all I have.
All right. Kate?
The only update I have that will also be sent out again in the communique is that we're still looking to fill a couple of representative positions. So in particular, the ELSO Advisory Council is looking for someone from the GPSA. But other than that, most of our positions are filled with the exception of this student advocacy position and chair. But other than that, we're good to go.
All right, Neve?
I met with Ben Carver, who is the previous appropriations chair, and got a bit more of an insight as to what he's been working on, what I can continue with, and just understanding my role a little bit better. So I'm looking forward to continue working on some of the things to get started.
All right, awesome. Genesis?
I just have one announcement to all of the committee chairs. So, like, I sent out an email to all of you today. Apologies for the date mistake. So, like, could you please just get back to me about your input by this Thursday? Because Gina just emailed me this afternoon saying that she's taking off next week, so it's probably not going to be feasible to send it out on Monday. So we currently plan to send it out on Friday. So if you could just get back to me by Thursday, then I can compile up and then send it with Gina on Friday. So.
No update for me.
Okay. And Kyle.
Okay. This is a safe space. So I'm going to tell you something that is not, like, just don't say anything if this changes. But right now it looks like we will have the Spring Grad Gala on April 30th.
Yay.
You can start like feeding to your organization, hey, like, just make sure that you have a nice outfit on this date and that you don't plan to go anywhere if you're interested in being there for this. But if it changes, obviously I'll let everyone know. We're planning to start marketing the event 6 weeks in advance and have ticket sales go live 4 weeks in advance. We are planning, and again, this is all safe space, so if it changes, please don't come at me. But hopefully we will have some kind of a consideration for students who are graduating this year, knowing that they've missed the gala for the last few years, and this is kind of their last chance as far as ticket sales and availability. So we are just note that we are trying to take that into consideration. So more to come. Hopefully by the end of this week, we'll have a lot of the finer details solidified. So by the next meeting, I'll be able to give some like true updates to this group.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much. Cody? Okay. And let's see, we have any updates from any external committees? Okay. And we can go to Dean Bohr.
Yeah, so I wanted to mention that we were successful in getting the provost to release more funds for the dependent care grant program. There will be a summer supplement coming out this summer for those who have child care expenses, and for next year, the overall amount in that account is going to go up. So I'm very happy about that. Of course, it's completely bigger, but at least it's going in the right direction. We did increase the budget for the emergency fund, so for those who run into unexpected expenses for medical or other challenges, we have increased that budget. And we are have also increased the research travel grant funding for those who need to travel to conduct their research. And so, and we've opened up another opportunity to April 1st to apply for funding. So, some good news.
Any other good news?
We're moving towards good news.
No, I meant like what we were talking about before the meeting, because we can kind of use that.
That's
for you.
That's, yeah. That's
okay. Cool. I mean, all right. So we talked to Dean Bohr. We can move into the open forum now. But we got some things we want to talk about as far as like how things are going to go for next year. So of course, if we have elections coming up at the end of April. And I think we've been discussing with Dean Bohr about different like engagement initiatives as far as trying to make sure that people within the GPSA are, you know, I guess like compensated for their work and for their time. And so we are actually able to get permission from the provost to be able to pay the GPSA executive committee next year. It was the big red box.
Your budget, but what you can do with it is to build in some sort of incentive structures along the line.
Sure.
That we talked about.
Yeah.
Before.
So. Well, yeah, but like we were talking about like big red box and different things like that. Yeah, I was getting there. Yeah. So we were kind of hoping to maybe start fielding some creative ideas surrounding that. We can't just necessarily like pay like that. But an idea that the executive committee had we had discussed was like big red bucks. And so I guess we just wanted to kind of start this discussion and start feeling ideas surrounding that. Anybody had any input on that?
Can I just a point of clarification? So this idea didn't just sprout out because we thought that we should be paid. we went to the Ivy Plus Summit in October, and we found out that a lot of the Ivy schools, and I don't know if it was Chicago or MIT, were paying their executive board stipends. And so we thought that it would be equitable if we provided some sort of incentive for people to join this group and better Cornell. So it wasn't out of the fact that we thought we should be paid, but kind of, you know, providing an incentive for people to take this role and go out and do good in their community.
I enthusiastically support the notion of incentivizing your leadership team. I think that that's a great idea.
So like Damien said, that was like a huge, one of the huge topics of conversation at the Ivy Plus Summit, and so just kind of, we've been kind of working behind the scenes trying to figure out, you know, what we can do, and so we're bringing it to you guys now, just so we can kind of start that discussion and hopefully get things kind of squared away so that people hopefully can know what's going to be happening next year and hopefully can get increased engagement as far as elections at the end of the semester. Yeah.
So if you got this okayed by the provost, could one of the incentives be some sort of academic credit?
So here I'm just jumping to an answer. And the reason being that the provost doesn't give credit. So, I mean, so you always would have to get credit from some college or some entity like that. And then to make those arrangements for the different groups you have around here is just not going to happen. Yeah, but it's a good question.
So does anybody have any, like, thoughts or questions about this?
So we the only institution, like peer institution, that doesn't have it?
There are some that don't. I think it was Columbia does.
Columbia does.
Brown does.
MIT does. A lot.
Yeah.
I strongly suggest, if you don't mind me suggesting, that you get the details on what the others do and then run that by your GPSA body and have that conversation.
Well, but the problem with that was that they were just actually like given stipends. That was...
That was the center of it?
Democracy here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It'd be good to have the context.
Yeah.
Mm. It was just stipends, though?
Yeah. So we kind of thought that something like Big Red Bucks would be a nice incentive bonus for the GPSA executive.
Could you remind me maybe just what the election timeline looks like? Which positions are up for election this cycle, and will we be able to communicate this change during the election cycle?
Yeah, so pretty much everybody but Neve and Andrew are up. Those positions are vacated at the end of the semester.
Got it.
So all the executive committee, all the other committee chairs besides appropriations and finance.
And when do the elections happen? And again, like, will we be able to communicate this change? Should we be ready to communicate this change by that time?
That was my thought process of, like, trying to bring this up. Like, you know, Dean Barr literally told us, like, before the meeting, I'm like, okay, like, we got to get, you know, not necessarily moving on this, but this, you know, is something that I think we should try to move towards before we have the elections. Because I think that, you know, like Damien said, we want to make it more equitable to serve in these positions and, you know, provide an incentive for next year. I'm not sure which meeting it is, but it's this semester. Yeah, it's in April. So
it would be nice to communicate that this was a thing in the communique, you know, coming up towards the election so that people knew.
Yeah, so we have it kind of solidified as a part of, like, the GPSA.
If you all want to do something like that. I mean,
yeah.
it's incumbent upon the entire group here to kind of facilitate that and figure out if that's what we're going
to
do.
Because it'll certainly have to be either, I mean, probably would be a byline change, right, Gina, don't you think? That would be have to be put in... Yeah, not byline. Bylaw, yeah, sorry.
I think it may be in both places, actually, because the GPSA byline was, so it needs to be adopted there, under C, but then also it would be probably a bylaw.
Sure, okay. Does anybody have any more questions or thoughts on that?
Okay, so what we'll do is by the next meeting, we'll come with some solid details on the other schools and what they're doing. We'll present that to you guys, and we can kind of discuss it more and hammer out some details on what we can do here at Cornell. Does that sound good? All right.
Cool. Okay. Anybody have anything else they want to add? Open forum, anything you want to discuss, talk about?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All right. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Also, just a reminder, Martha Pollock is coming to our next meeting, so be prepared with any questions.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.